Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Amen. Let's everybody stand. Let's sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's stand. Let's sing it out now. Yeah. On the verse, let's sing it. We've been teaching about for the last 3 weeks on grace. And we are in this right now on grace, where we talked about this morning about a God that stood in for us. About a God that stood in for us. The God that stooped down for us. That wrote in the sand to give, to show grace for us. I told him last week, we are living on these four verses right now. We're in the in-between verses. The first two, verse three. We get excited about verse 1, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're all about that, and I'm glad that he saved a wretch like me. And we get excited, so excited about when we've been there 10,000 years. But I'm so glad on that third verse right there, it said, through many told us that I have already come. Grace has brought me saved thus far. Woo! Has brought me through some things, that has brought me through life, that has brought me through. I'm so glad for the amazing grace of God. I want to go back and sing that third verse again. We'll sing the last verse. I don't know where we're pumped up for church this morning. I'm so, woo! Amen, amen. I know you prayed back in the back. Brother John, lead us in prayer, would you please?
Holy Spirit, you're welcome. God, thank you for being present, Lord. We feel you already, and we thank you for your visit. And Father, I pray that you continue to be here, Lord, through all the service. And Father, if there's anyone right now who's so close to hell and don't know it, Lord, I pray that they will not bark in that back door before being saved. Oh, Holy Spirit, start touching hearts right now and moving upon them heavily, Lord. God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do. God, you're so precious. You're so awesome. Thank you for your love, and we'll give you the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm glad that the Lord's always on time. I believe he was on time this morning. I believe some of y'all needed a touch that you probably got in that first song and got some help. I know William got a touch in that first song. Hopefully something we do here, say here, sing here today will help you in a special way. I love my church family. You're always on time for us when we need you. Pray for the choir as we sing 4 days late.
Somebody said he's alive.
circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration, it gets so out of hand. But listen, but it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never understood my test alone. Then I look at all my past victories. I'm reminded all God's done for me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
Turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 30. Amen. Psalm chapter 30. The last two services, we've been talking about the very subject of the suffering Christian and why do Christians suffer. This week, as I've seen friends, whether they be brothers or sisters in Christ, suffer, it's been a tough ordeal to watch. Some because of death, some because of sickness, and others because of the news that they've been given a short time to live. And let me say, before I go any further, I apologize to Chastity for blowing the surprise out of the water. I went to her just now, and I told her to get me off the hook and lie to Tracy and tell her she knew all about it anyway. But I do apologize for that. I just heard that it was on Facebook, and I just assumed that you decided not to keep it a secret. So she is gone now, I think, downstairs. It should be nice for us to bring plenty of food, drink, and dessert, and give her a good send-off tonight. And Lisa and I are going to go. And, we've been saying, what could we get her? You know, and I said, well, you never lose with Dairy Queen gift cards. But I don't know how prevalent Dairy Queen is in Texas. I just don't know. But I know McDonald's. There's McDonald's everywhere. I mean, go to China, there's McDonald's. But I tell you, I do apologize for that. But let me get back to the subject at hand, please. Why Christians suffer. I don't, within myself, I can't give you an answer. And as I said last week, all I can do is search the Word of God and take God's word for it. And so we started off dealing with the event in Exodus chapter 4, and we dealt with a couple other areas where reasons why God allows us to suffer. And I think we would all be lying if we said we enjoyed the suffering. You say, well, I'm so spiritual, I enjoy it. Well, God bless your pea-picking soul, because I tell you, you're a better man or woman than I am, because I'm not quite where Paul was. The Lord's still working on me, and I don't always like it when we suffer. I was, Bobby Brindle called me Friday. If you remember, he was the little evangelist that came through riding on the scooter, and he was going to be across town next week, and he wanted to be here Sunday night, and of course we have our plate full. But in the process, he was speaking of a lady by the name of Miss Hattie. He calls her Mama, and she's a pianist at the church where I pastored before coming here, and she and Doyle Bledsoe used to play the piano together up at the camp meeting in Bristol, Tennessee. And so they were very good friends, and both of them played beautifully. Miss Hattie, in December 31st, she will be 90 years old. And she still plays the piano every Sunday morning and every Sunday afternoon for her church. And last year, we were almost this time, well, in February, we were burying her husband of many, many, many years of marriage. Then she called me a while back ago and said they found a leak under her house, but it had been there for a long time. And so they've had to go in there and rip out all of her flooring in her house. They've had to gut her kitchen, her bathrooms. Her house is a construction zone, and it's been going on for 2 months. She's living in a little apartment not too far from her home and from her church. She decided that one day she was going to do some laundry, and so with a big old basket full of dirty clothes, she fell. Understand, she's almost 90 years old. Busted her ribs up real badly. And just having a difficult time of it. During all this, her brother died. And so his wife, which is a little slow, is being taken care of by Miss Hattie. Now, I'm going somewhere. You just hang on. We're talking about suffering, aren't we? So here's this lady, almost 90 years old, taking care of someone other than herself, grieving with her husband and then her own brother dying, and now her house is torn all to pieces. She's living in an apartment. Then she falls. So she's hurt. So she was allowing somebody else to drive for her. And so they pulled into the parking lot of their apartment, and the person driving mashed the gas instead of the brake. And it ran through a little wall and hit a big air conditioning unit, exterior air conditioning unit, in the process hitting another automobile. I'm talking about Christian suffering. This is a woman that wouldn't hurt a fly, that wouldn't speak against God's people or God's men. This is a woman that from 10 o'clock or from 10 o'clock a.m. every Sunday morning to 11 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning, she's in a prayer closet praying for me. She is full of God. People from all over the world call Miss Hattie and say, I need you to pray for me. It sounds like to me at this moment Miss Hattie could use our prayers. But I called her yesterday and spoke to her for about 15 minutes. And she always wants to know about others, but she just poured her little heart out to me. And I thought, Lord, I sure do wish you would touch this lady. I pray you'll do something for her great. And then I was thinking about those at Westside Baptist Church that are going through things, maybe not the exact same thing that Miss Hattie is going through, but you're going through something. And the question was asked me, as I mentioned to you last week, is why is God letting this happen to me? I've covered two sermons answering that question, and because of time, I'm going to jump right in and answer them the best I can. God uses suffering, Christian, to purify us. In Job chapter 23 and verse 10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried, tested me, I shall come forth as gold. I was thinking about this thing of testing the gold, and there's this refinement that takes place when God is purifying his people. And likewise, there is a refinement that takes place when gold is being refined and made better and better and better and more valuable. And so I thought, well, I know that. But I looked around and I found that gold is tried by fire, but not just any fire. Gold is tried by fire that is at least 1,801 degrees Fahrenheit. In other words, it's not just a little fire. It's something that becomes quite volatile and, yes, even dangerous. And I'll speak about that in just a moment. But gold, when refined and made pure, is heated up tremendously to 1,801 degrees Fahrenheit. This excited me because I found out that refining gold, for the most part, has not changed. Now, they can refine with chemicals. But what I found out is this, is that if there is a large quantity of gold to be refined is always refined by fire. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, God looks and sees where the value is of His kingdom. And that is whom He refines. So when you are going through the fire, like the song mentioned ago, please understand that God is refining you in large quantities. What do you mean by that? Well, I don't know about you, but if someone came to me and said, I want to give you some gold, I would prefer it to be in large quantities. And so God is refining in large quantities. He's upping your value. It means something to Him. I want to tell you that we're tried by fire. By tribulation, yes. But let me say this to you. That refining gold is only dangerous to one person. And it's the refiner. Our refiner met danger head on. Our refiner was born, birthed, into this nasty world. Our refiner took on the danger when he faced the cross by himself. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Truth is, he faced it all by himself. The crucifixion, the whip, the thorns, the nails. It was all him, ladies and gentlemen. It was our refiner. He faced the danger for you and me. I thank God that He uses suffering to make us more valuable. Man, I like it. I tell you another reason He allows us to suffer. He allows us to suffer to make us like Christ. Hebrews 12:10 says this. Now you get ready, hang on. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Our chastening, our suffering, is that we may be holy. He's going to beat the devil out of us, that we can experience holiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says this: we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. He says we are perplexed. Now, none of us want to admit that. Because if you look at this word perplexed, you find out that it means we stand in doubt. Oh, no. We want everybody to believe that we're just 100% sure of what's taking place and we're unshakable, unmovable, and they can count on us. But the fact is things come our way and sometimes it will shake us to the core and cause us to doubt. You know what else it means? To be embarrassed. Sometimes we should be embarrassed. But sometimes we're embarrassed of God. Ooh, not me, preacher. You ever been through something? And you say, well, how am I going to explain this? How am I going to explain that? I mean, how do I tell people that God's letting this happen to me? That's what I'm talking about. It also means that we do not know what to do. It also means to be without resources. So when we are perplexed, we are many times standing in doubt. When we are perplexed in our situation, we have to be honest with God and say, hey, I'm embarrassed. You've allowed this to happen. I proclaim your name. I tell people you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you didn't do it, and I'm embarrassed. But the fact is, that's called pride. And it's called lack of understanding. So when we're perplexed, yes, we don't know what to do. Did you hear me? We're perplexed. We don't know what to do. Sometimes we are without resources. We say, God, if you'd give me these resources and that resources, God, we could do X, Y, and Z. But many times, God has already given us the resources, but we've incorrectly used them. We're perplexed, but not in despair. There's something inside the old Christian that understands that on the other side of the suffering is Jesus. And somewhere in the suffering is Jesus. There's a faith, a deep-rooted understanding that we can't get away from because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives. Always, now listen to this, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. And by the way, there's a lot here, but I'm trying to hurry up because I don't want to preach this again. Listen what it says in verse 10. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's a sermon right there, but please listen. Let's move on, please. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, we're talking about the suffering, remember? We're troubled, we're distressed, we're perplexed, we're in despair, we're persecuted, we're cast down. Man, we are suffering. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That the life of Jesus might be made to appear in our body. That the life also of Jesus might be made to be visible in our body. That the life of our Lord Jesus might be made to become known in our body. Now listen, I'm going to give you the complete definition of that word manifest. That the life also of Jesus might be made to appear in our body, whether by words or deeds. That the life also of Jesus might be made to be visible in our body, whether by words or deeds. Are you with me? That the life also of Jesus might be made to become known, whether by words or deeds. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what the Bible just said? Not what the preacher said, but the Bible just said, words or deeds, meaning God will change our actions. God will change our words to make us more like Christ so we can glorify Him. God allows these sufferings that we become more like Him, that we can glorify Him, that people can see Jesus in us. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15 says this, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Listen to what he says. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Just hang on. Just suffer a little while longer. Because the day is coming. The glorifying of God is going to fall from your mouth. Days coming that the glorifying God will be seen by others because God has changed you and me. I tell you what, in John chapter 9, we find the account Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, meaning Jesus, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither." Well, I tell you, that put it all in perspective. If he didn't say anything else, that did it, didn't it? "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents." Now, hang on, Christians. Hang on, suffering Christians. Listen to this. "But that the works of God should be made manifest, plainly recognized in him." That's why God allows us to suffer. I'm almost done. In Psalm chapter 30, in our text, in verse 5, the last part of that verse says this: "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Now, it's obvious in the first part of this verse that the Lord was having to spank. But we have also seen in the previous text in John chapter 9 that it's not always sin that causes suffering. We saw last Sunday morning that it was sin and sin of omission. Those things that we recognize and the things that we don't recognize or don't want to deal with, that God does chasten us. But we also have seen over the last two services that it's not always sin. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Yesterday, and I hope they don't mind, but I want to say this. Sunday, not Sunday, but earlier in the week, they told Maria she'd have to go on dialysis and also start looking for a donor for a kidney. And they were going to have to go in, I believe it was Thursday, and get a sample of one of her kidneys. And so they did. And it didn't go well. She started bleeding out. Matter of fact, they had to give her two units of blood to replace what she had lost. So it didn't go well. They got the bleeding stopped, checked for other bleeding. It was fine. But because of all what happened, she was in tremendous pain. And they brought her into the ICU rather than back onto the sixth floor where she had previously been. And Tina came out and was visibly upset. And I went back, and then I saw why Miss Tina was visibly upset. Because Maria was suffering in pain, writhing in pain. I walked in. She was saying with much conviction, I don't want to say she was screaming, but she was definite in her desire. She said, "Well, please, somebody help me. I can't take this. Well, please, somebody help me." And Dave was over on the other side of her holding her hand. You know what he was telling her? He said, "They're coming, and the pain medication's going to go in. You're going to be okay in a few minutes." And the little registered nurse male nurse was over there getting stuff ready, and the whole time Miss Maria was saying, "Please, can somebody help me, please?" And Dave was saying, "It's going to be okay." They're working on getting everything together now. In a few minutes, you're going to be okay. She continued to cry, and I walked over, and I could see the pain in her face. And then I looked down, and her chest was deep breaths, and her stomach was contracting, and she was in a lot of pain, folks, and I felt so bad for her. It wasn't long. That registered nurse reached over and screwed a little syringe full of stuff onto her IV, and he mashed that thing, and she went from severe outcrying of pain to a more relaxed state. She was still in pain, but it was no longer unbearable. I thought about that. That RN, you know what he was? He was no more than the representative of the doctor. He was there to carry out the doctor's orders, and that was to relieve her pain. I thought about some of you that are in other types of pain and suffering in your lives. And I want to tell you something, that you may feel laid out, you may feel wounded and hurt, but Dr. Jesus has sent someone to relieve your pain. And that someone is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's walking into the room of your suffering even now. And you think, when's it going to make it happen? When's it going to stop? I can't take it anymore. Somebody do something. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, when you think the doctor's lost his mind, when you think the Holy Spirit's fallen down on his job, because we're his, and we're his blood, we're covered by his blood. And he injects this spiritual delight, amen, and settles the storm in our life. Guess what? Listen to me. That little plug they took from Miss Maria's kidney, it was still gone. The injury was still there. But the doctor had his representative do something for Maria. Your injury may not go away, but Dr. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to help you. Embrace it, enjoy it, and love him for it. I'm talking about, why do the Christians suffer? And I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christian, you're going through it. You don't understand it. I'm telling you, Jesus is working on you. He's working on you because he counts you as valuable. He's turned up the heat because he knows that you've got something to offer. I'm talking about something great to offer. There's everyone in this room has the opportunity and the ability through Christ to not just go through your Christian walk with a sense of lukewarmness, but to be effective, to be pure and holy, shining his glory through our walk in our talk, in our Christian walk. Y'all with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand. I think the invitation is simple. Lord, help me to be like that gold. Help me, Lord, to be valuable to your cause. Help me, oh Lord, to be meaningful to the things of Christ. Today you may be here saying, Preacher, I don't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I want to suggest to you that you come to the altar and let us have someone take the Word of God and show you how you can be born again. As we sing, the altar's open.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Have thine own
way. I want to be valuable to you.
The potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Yielded and still.